Now, it's time for that dynamic duo.
To the Batmobile.
Not them.
You mean?
It's Hancock and Kelly.
Well, that's right, ladies. We are a duo.
On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Good morning, John Hancock.
Good morning. I'm starting my contest already.
Four.
I'm going to see if I can actually finish a cup of coffee before we're done here.
Well, it's the Hancock and Kelly Show, blank and you'll miss us.
Yes.
Hey, this weekend we got a big celebration, the 250th anniversary.
The United States Army.
The United States Army. It's a year older than the country.
It is.
And well, we're going to have this big military celebration in Washington, D.C. So first of all, happy birthday to the Army and all the men and women who've served our country.
And let me just say, in preparation for this parade, tanks for the memories, United States.
Thanks for the memories.
Yes.
There's a good little dad joke, wasn't it there? Woo, buddy. Also expected to have protests across the country as it relates to a No Kings Day, which is kind of, a hybrid of what we saw from the Women's March right after Donald Trump's election the first time. Anticipated that people will be out. You think this is going to be a chaotic weekend in our country?
It could be. And, you know, we're going to have protests here in St. Louis. The governor's already called out the National Guard. And, you know, you've got to hope that the protests are peaceful, that they're respectful, and that they don't turn violent.
Well, some of the protests have gotten a little bit violent right now out in L.A. Many people from the state of California say it's being ratcheted up and caused by the Trump administration. The Trump administration and Donald Trump specifically saying, no, this is what I was elected to do. I'm coming in. And he's even brought the Marines. Yesterday, there was a press conference. Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary, was there. Senator Padilla was there from California, went to ask a question. I don't know if you saw the video, but a United States senator was thrown to the ground and thrown in cuffs.
Yeah, he was.
It wasn't until Corey Lewandowski recognized who it was that came to an end. And
well, thank goodness Corey Lewandowski was in the house.
Don't you think this is not a good thing?
No, it's not a good thing. But I have to say, you know, I follow politics, as
ditto.
Do you. And I follow it pretty closely because we have, you know, we got to talk about it here and on Fox 2. And if you would have asked me 48 hours ago who the senior senator from California was, I could not have answered the question, nor could I have picked him out of a lineup. And I could tell you whether it was.
Think about that.
Kamala Harris.
Right.
Barbara Boxer. Dianne Feinstein. I've had a pretty good grasp on the and now Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
The one, and I didn't know the lady that Newsom appointed after Feinstein resigned, and then she chose not to run, and apparently this Padilla guy got elected in 22.
Right.
I didn't know who it was, so I'm not one of those that's going to be casting aspersions at Kristi Noem for not recognizing him.
To that point, though, this is a Secretary of the United States.
Yeah.
This is not some schlop job. They've got tons of security. Nobody is in a room with that human being without everybody knowing who the people in that room are.
You would think.
They've been through metal detectors, dog detectors. They've been through all the stuff. Was his behavior appropriate? I don't know. I'm waiting to see it, but I don't think it matters. When you're a United States senator, you're there. This was handled poorly, and I'm afraid it's a tipping point, if you will, in this.
It could be. It could be, yeah. But, you know, whether we like it or not, politics has become performative now. And so you get Kristi Noem dressing up like a border guard.
Right, G.I. Joe.
You've got this guy walking into a news conference and hijacking it and asking questions. In terms of just mores and decorum over the course of our history, neither one of those things would be seen as acceptable. But I do think at a minimum, the secretary ought to call the senator, and maybe she already has, and apologize saying, look, I didn't recognize you. I didn't know who you were. You were approaching the dais, and, you know, our security detail did what it's trained to do. And, and kind of leave it at that. But it was, you think this portends much more.
I do. And I mean, that would be the behavior that normal human beings would have. That's not something the Trump administration can do. They can't ever back down. I think they like the performative stuff. I think
they do
fighting with Gavin Newsom. I think they, you know, and it just, it shouldn't have to be this way.
You know, the politics of it is interesting because what the president is doing by sending in the taking over the National Guard, which now is in question because of court rulings, and by sending in the Marines, the things he is doing there are very popular with his supporters, very popular. And on the other side of that equation, the things that Gavin Newsom is doing, suing the president, speaking out against the president, ridiculing the administration, are very popular with his base of supporters. And because we are no longer a country, seemingly, that needs to appeal to the middle,
right?
Both of them are having politically successful episodes here.
Right, and it's playing out in the biggest and most important state in the country. I mean, it just, that both of them seem to be on a crash course to continue to draw attention. I would argue, and I think most rational people would agree, this is primarily being driven by Donald Trump and his administration. But the Democrats are playing their part in this role in this play as well. It's really quite scary if you think about it, ultimately, that a governor and a president are fighting over the National Guard and then courts are having to weigh in. These are the norms that should make everybody be a bit more concerned.
Yeah, the courts have been really the only branch of government that's shown any inclination whatsoever to check the executive power. Congress isn't doing it. And now that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has put a stay in place on the lower court ruling saying that Newsom ought to have control of his own National Guard, that case is going to be litigated. They're going to have a hearing on Tuesday. We'll see how that turns out. And by Tuesday, this thing may have all dissipated. Who knows? That's why we pay attention to the news, Michael.
Yeah, we woke up this morning to the news that Israel has attacked Iran.
Yes.
This is huge. This is major. This is going to escalate, and it's likely we could potentially be involved.
Let's talk about that when we return after this. It's Hancock and Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMLX.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. It's the Hancock and Kelly Show. You can check us out on Sunday morning at 8:30 on Fox 2 in St. Louis for Hancock and Kelly, the television show. John, we both woke up this morning. You may have saw some of it last night that Israel proactively struck Iran, went after a lot of its nuclear facilities, also its top nuclear scientists and leadership, saying this is going to be a several days of attacks. The White House acknowledging that, in fact, they did know the president tried to talk Netanyahu out of doing this. This morning on his own social media, the president describing that Iran should get to the table and cut a deal right now because this is only going to get worse.
Yeah, and I think this is really fascinating on a number of different levels. So you've got the Israelis calling this a preemptive strike, which preemptive strikes in international warfare
they don't exist.
Standards. You can a preemptive strike is acceptable if a threat is imminent, that they're coming at you, they've amassed at the border, whatever. This is not so much a preemptive strike as it is a preventative strike. So what they're trying to do here is immobilize Iran's nuclear capacity, and that's a lot murkier, a lot more murky in terms of international war values. And so there's going to be some, you know, court of public opinion stuff here internationally. But the overall effectiveness of what Israel did is stunning. And they have so weakened already Iran's, not just their nuclear capacity, but their defense capacity. Iran tried to throw some drones up in the air at Israel last night. Israel shot them all down. Israel continues. The other thing that's interesting here is that the influence of the United States, if in fact the Trump administration tried to dissuade Israel from making that attack, they didn't succeed. So Israel goes ahead with the attack against the wishes of their ally, the United States, because the United States was wanting to begin shortly talks with Iran about curtailing their nuclear weapons program. And that was what Stephen Witkoff, the U.S. envoy, was trying to get done. And what one of the things the Israelis did last night is they killed the guy that would have been the negotiator for Iran with the United States. So it's a mess.
Well, having been lectured for quite some time about how I'd have stopped that war, it would have never have happened. It would have never have happened. Netanyahu was Donald Trump's bestie. How does this happen? How does the president of the United States tell the president of Israel, well, do not do this, and he walks across that line?
Well, because Netanyahu is looking out for the national security interests of his country, and he felt that what they were about to do was the best possible course of action for Israel, regardless of what the United States may or may not have said.
Yeah, but it's our military that will be out there defending them as these other attacks come back in.
So
it's inevitable.
You think this thing's going to escalate?
I do. I fear that it's going to escalate. And, you know, there's lots of theories on what's going to happen. The Iranians go right back at Israel, which then puts us in the middle of it because we have a duty and will defend Israel. What if they start to attack some of the other Arab neighbors who've not been too kind to Iran over the last several years, but have also, you know, stayed out of this Israeli conflict? If that opens up, we also provide security for a lot of those. I don't see a way that this doesn't finish with the United States being involved in conflict Iran.
It absolutely could. I don't necessarily think it will. One of the things, well, if Israel's military has done as effective a job as they say they have, and I suspect they have, they've really weakened Iran's position to strike back. Now, Iran is part of a alliance, loose alliance, but alliance nonetheless, with Russia and with China. And so do those nations get drawn into this? I don't think so. But does Iran begin to engage with some kind of a massive retaliation, even troops on the ground retaliation against Israel? That's a possibility. And that would be, I think you're right, that would inevitably draw the U.S. in, and that would, you know, that would not be good.
You're not worried about this weekend ahead? I am. There's just too much going on in the world right now between the protests and what's happening in the world right now. It just feels like we're headed to what's going to be an eerie weekend.
You got the military parade in Washington. That's going to draw a lot of protesters. The president's already said, you know, don't do it. So you don't know how that's going to kind of evolve. And now you've got these anti-ICE protests all over the country in cities, including our city.
And Israel's starting a war with Iran.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a historic weekend. Hey, speaking of history, Brian Wilson died from the Beach
Boys.
Yes, he did. I know you're a music guy.
I am.
I think back to the Beatles' original music. It's kind of poppy, yada-la-la. Same thing with the Beach Boys.
Yep.
They evolved. Their music got great. Where you put Brian Wilson in terms of great musicians of rock and roll?
I would rate him high as a songwriter. As far as the quality of the music, I mean, you know, it's poppy stuff. Uh-huh. But I do think he was a very talented songwriter. He employed the hook as well as anybody in writing pop music. So that's where I come
from. Did you ever play any of his stuff on the piano?
Never have. I did have one of their albums. We need to step aside. Chris and Amy are next. They're going to join. We're going to join them for that show. It's right here, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.